This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming to you from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage on this beautiful Tuesday around the country. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. In frigid, chilly New York City, but across the country, of course, 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. And obviously a lot to get to here on a somewhat of a football Tuesday, but a couple of good basketball topics to weave in. Paul George coming back this week, a little something on Memphis. You and I will finally really, truly dive into that.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo, the head coach of the Michigan State Spartans, our good friend, always carves out time for us. He'll join us today as well. And maybe a new trend in the NBA. Just say, I'll leave it at this. Shifting from 3 to 2. Mm. Got a lot to go into here, Teak. What's happening,
and
buddy?
It's a good trend for the NBA. Mm. Great win for the Seattle Seahawks last night.
Yep.
Our only issue is Russell Wilson's hair. I mean,
yeah,
I get it because he's
a throwback look.
As D'Cell said, when I asked him about it, he said he's married to Ciara. I mean, mm-hmm. He can do whatever she wants him to do.
That's true.
Hey, experiment, sweetheart. You know, mm-hmm. we do some movies together
listen,
or something like that.
Maybe she's rocking the blonde wig or different. I mean, listen. You
if you missed it, Samter posted on our social media account. His hair is epic.
Yeah.
It is so glowish.
It got long and it got curly exactly. And it got very wet looking.
Exactly. That aside, Russell Wilson is amazing.
I take that hair. I don't know if I'd style it quite
dude,
like that, but I'd take that
if
hair.
If I had hair,
yeah.
Trust me, I would do it. I'd be doing it all.
You wouldn't wear it like that.
I'd be doing it all. I'd go back to the Dion Jerry curl. Remember Dion when he had a Jerry curl?
Of course. So. You know what I'd have? I'd have a little flat top. I'd have a little fade. Like I've always said I had like a little 90s fade.
Yeah.
Either really long on top and short on the sides or like a 90s fade.
Yeah, you gotta have the short on sides.
Maybe a couple lines in there, you know?
Right. At the end of the day, it's really about him on the field.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. What I say, don't bet against Russell Wilson.
You can't bet against
him. Don't bet against him.
And more importantly, the 49ers, who had a chance to steal this game because mm-hmm. Russell Wilson made a rare mistake, which was an interception, going into the tight red zone at the in the first overtime, that they returned to the 50
mm-hmm.
and then missed a field goal, and you give him a second opportunity, Russell Wilson's going to dagger you every single time. It's
yep.
just who he is. It's what he does. And as much as it was him with his arm, you see his completion percentage on the season. He completed a lot of balls last night as well. It's his awareness in the pocket. As soon as you start to turn your back on him, he's going to tuck the rock, and he's going to pick up 15, 18 yards like he did on that last drive on third down and put him back in field goal position and steal a win from you on the road. That's Russell Wilson. And when we talked about, you know, Lamar Jackson yesterday because of, you know, him being the MVP of his team, he is without Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens aren't the same. Without Russell Wilson, the same thing can be said about the Seattle Seahawks squad. They go and they live through him. Because he's such a catalyst when things matter the most. So they steal a win. They knock off the only undefeated team left in the National Football League, the San Francisco 49ers. And if you ever doubt the Seattle Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
all you got to do is look no farther than Russell Wilson. You'll see why you should never doubt the Seattle Seahawks.
He's unbelievable. And he didn't even play great last night.
I know.
I mean, he obviously made plays, as Tiki detailed, obviously assessing the pocket. He was running for his life, sacked 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
That Niners front is beastly.
That's right.
We already knew that. The 49ers dealt with a lot of injuries last night. Obviously, no George Kittle. Their kicker, Gould, was out. The poor kid put in the situation. You could just tell that the heart was pumping, the heart was tapping, the blood was flowing.
Well, he just
cranked that one immediately.
But he nailed it in getting overtime.
No, I know. But
at the end of regulation,
that was an ugly miss.
That thing went in the tunnel, BT.
Yeah, I mean, that was as quickly off target as you'll see in the NFL.
That's right.
Never even remotely had a chance.
They had a meme from, like, there's a tunnel that's, it's got to be, I don't know, 30 feet left of the goalpost, at least 30 feet, maybe 50 feet left of the goalpost. The ball goes into that tunnel. He's like, oh, this football's not supposed to land here. That's how bad he yanked it. But that's, I mean.
Listen, he missed a kick, and, and Gould's coming back, obviously. You know, Lockett's situation's a little bit different. And
yeah, I worry about compression syndrome there.
You know, by the way, before I forget, I could actually read this. My good buddy's a surgeon, and you know, he was on the WhatsApp. We obviously our fantasy team. He sent us this last night. He said, "Sounds like Lockett has a compartment syndrome.
Compartment syndrome
usually requires emergency surgery. He did spend the night, by the way, in the Bay Area. Did not travel back. Obviously, go elevation that could like a concussion when you can deal with circulatory issues. The last thing you want to do is get up in an airplane and getting up in the air." I could require emergency surgery to open up the fascia to relieve pressure, usually from a contusion or a bruise. So soft tissue, blood pools in extremity, and creates so much swelling and pressure, it almost acts like a tourniquet, cutting off subsequent blood flow.
Oh, wow.
A little worrisome here for him. So hopefully Lockett's going to be okay. But listen, I do think it's a fair question to ask today. I'm going to ask it. You ready? Mm-hmm. Is Jimmy Garoppolo good enough? Throws a lot of picks.
Yeah.
He throws a lot of picks.
He is. But Jimmy Garoppolo kind of falls in the same category with a lot of other quarterbacks who are the traditional drop-back quarterback. Kirk Cousins is one of these.
He's better than Kirk Cousins. He's more talented than Kirk Cousins.
He's like this, though. Kirk Cousins like this. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan is like this to an extent.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers at times is like this.
Looks like Sam Darnold's becoming that as a young pocket. Right. You know,
and what I mean is Josh Allen is certainly. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff definitely is this guy. If you run the football effectively, and I'm not talking about 160 yards a game, but I'm saying you're getting 3.5 to 4 yards of pop so you can stay regular on first and second down and, you know, put yourself in third manageable situations so the throws are easier. You don't got to throw 15-yard digs and comebacks that are 12 to 15 yards downfield, which are tough throws, right? And obviously the DBs are good as well, so tough throws with good coverage. Those are hard for quarterbacks to be successful with. But there's this group of quarterbacks that need a good running game in order for them to be exceptional. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo's not good, because he's good.
He's definitely good.
But for him to be exceptional, he's got to have the accent part, the pieces, and that's the run game. And that's what we saw last night. For the first time, really, all year, their run game with Breida and Tevin Coleman, I mean, they didn't get off. They only had 58 yards. Yep. And so when you stifle that, and you stick it all on Jimmy Garoppolo, and you let guys like Jadeveon Clowney and the Seattle Seahawks front just pin their ears back and go after you because you know that you're not running the football, you turn average.
Mm-hmm.
It's why, interestingly, yesterday we were talking about Russell Lamar Jackson. It's why he's so different. It's why he's changing the game. Russell Wilson is in this vein as well. Josh Allen could be in this situation as well if he ever learned how to throw the football. But when you can create on your own as a quarterback, run game's not working, you know, they got us hemmed up in the pass game, and I can create something on my own, that's the changing nature of the game of football, and we're seeing it. We see it in college. We're definitely seeing it in the National Football League. Jimmy G's not that. And so when the run game's not, it's not working, he turns average.
He's pretty mobile, though.
He doesn't run. And he's definitely not running anymore because last year,
non-contact.
He took off and had a non-contact ACL tear, which, you know, I mean, that's one of the most devastating injuries there is when you're not even hit. There's no explanation for why you tear your ACL. You just tear it trying to be an athlete. Mm-hmm. So you know that's not going to be part of his game. And so, I mean, they depend upon this run game to be stout. And if it's not, then Jimmy G can win. He's just not going to be exceptional.
You know, they were going to lose eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I don't want to overreact to this loss here. Yeah. I still think they're a terrific team. I think they need to, you know, continue to evolve from a coaching point of view, from a, from a schematic point of view. They've got to get healthy. This was a huge win for Seattle. This was a bad night for either the Eagles, Dallas, and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
The more you think about this thing, Rams aren't going to the playoffs here.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the path for the Rams to go to the playoffs.
There isn't one. They're not winning the division. That's for sure.
No. And Vikings have 7 wins.
Yeah, right. They're not winning the wild card either, unless they just start playing ridiculously better football.
But where's the evidence that that would even happen?
I mean,
they're not running the football. They're not protecting Goff.
Well, I mean, actually, they did run the football pretty well, Jared. Todd Gurley had...
Early, he had a couple of good runs, and he kind of plateaued out.
He did, but they just went away from it. And you stick it on
they're
Jared.
They're not scoring that much this year, man.
They're not at all.
They're not that.
They're not that kind of team this year.
They're
not at all. And you're starting to see people now start to question the $100 million guarantee to Jared Goff. And, you know, the offensive innovation of Sean McVay has kind of gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And you should see all this motion and movement and things of that nature to draw mismatches. We're not seeing that any longer. The Rams are in a precarious situation right now. A year after being in the Super Bowl, they're, what, 2 games back?
I'm looking it up right now.
It might be more. At least two games back.
Or, let's see the AFC, pardon me. So the NFC, all right, so right now you've got Seattle in the 5 spot, the Vikings in the 6 spot with 7. The Rams are right behind them, but they're 3 behind Seattle in terms of wins, and they're 2 behind the Vikings.
Yeah, so they're 2 behind.
And they're tied with Philly, and they're tied with Carolina, so they don't even have any room below them.
That's right, and so... They're going to have to play perfect.
And they're not going to the playoffs this year. They're not going.
And it's hard to imagine with a team that still has as much talent as they did last year to not even be in the postseason after going to the Super Bowl.
Well, but think about this. And I know that this is about Seattle's win, but by extension, this certainly it's fair to incorporate the Rams. I mean, it's a marquee team with big expectations coming in. They're in the Super Bowl a year ago. They're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey. They have to pay Jalen Ramsey for all that draft equity they gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to pay Jalen Ramsey. They've got a lot of holes on their offensive line. They've got a lot of things that they need to fix. So I want to know, and they just paid Jared Goff, where is the money to disperse to their holes?
It's not.
Because there's a lot more holes than people thought that they had.
Gurley's
making decent bank.
That's right.
I mean, I know you were just going to say
that's
that.
That's right.
So, I mean,
Aaron Donald's the highest.
Brandon Cooks is making a few bucks as well. People forget about him. The Rams are really disappointing this season.
Yeah, look,
they really are.
Look, they
and by the way, the Seattle, they're over. I don't know. Do I say that they're overachieving, or did I just underrate them coming in?
I think we probably underrated them.
Even though
we didn't disrespect them, though.
No, we knew that they'd be competitive.
I think we had them in the postseason, both of us. But.
All right. No, I didn't. You did. So yeah. Tiki had them second in the NFC West, as did I. But I had the Vikings and the Cowboys as wild cards, with the Eagles winning the East.
Mm-hmm.
You had them in second as well in the NFC West behind the Rams. Behind the Rams. But you had Seattle and the Falcons as the wild card teams. You had the Eagles getting shut out.
God, I was woeful on the Falcons.
Yeah, and I mean, it is what it is.
It's preseason. You don't know.
No, we didn't blatantly disrespect them, but they're a tick above what I think most people thought they'd
be. I think you're right.
I thought the Rams would be better.
And at the end of the day, it's Russell Wilson. That's why they're a tick above.
Correct.
Because every year we talk about him being at least in the conversation for the MVP. This year, he's getting some help because Chris Carson's turned into a really good running back, and so there's accents there. DK Metcalf is a monster.
It's becoming reliable.
And even when they lose some of their other weapons, like Lockett, who we just talked about, these other guys are stepping into the void because he leads them. You know, he's such a great catalyst for young players.
Is he the best leader in sports? I'm serious when I ask that question. Is he the best leader in sports?
I can't speak to the locker room because I have no idea.
But just based on what happens on field? Yeah. Obviously, they're following his message.
Probably behind Tom Brady, I'd say he's second.
I mean, even the NBA, it's hard to lead in baseball. I mean, this guy, for whatever reason, in the most popular sport in our country, still is underrated.
Yeah.
I find that almost impossible to digest. Yeah. Most people are overrated. We're hyperbolic in a positive sense, generally.
No, I hear
this
you.
Guy's the best we've seen. This guy's the best. This guy's on the Mount Rushmore. This guy does every year with very little around him is amazing.
Yeah, well, it feels like he hasn't had the postseason success that he should in order to make that statement, BT. But let's not forget, their offensive line has been terrible the last 3 years. They have had no run game to speak of until this year. Defensively, they had to rebuild. They got old, like really old, and then they had to start from the bottom and come up again. And Shaquille Griffin is playing good football right now. He had a couple of big pass
Great
breakups.
Pick. He had a pick, too.
Great pick, exactly. So, like, they went through this cyclical downturn, but still made the playoffs.
Yeah, because it's just a good organization.
Because of Russell Wilson. And so
But they draft well, too.
I know, but it's not hyperbole. Every team goes through that downturn, that cyclical, dude, we got to remake our roster.
Except the Pats.
Except for the Pats. But it's because they remake it all the time on the fly.
Exactly. You know it's never like, it's never a top-to-bottom remake.
Exactly.
Because they always do
most
little tweaks along the way.
Most teams wait until the end of the season.
Correct. Or the end of the run.
Exactly. Yep. Let's figure this out. Mm-hmm. The Patriots evaluate, like, from week one through entire offseason, back to week one again.
Correct.
They're constantly evaluating, so they never have to go through that rebuild. But it's natural to go through that dip. The Seahawks went through that dip and didn't miss the playoffs. They still were in the playoffs because of Russell Wilson. So I don't think it's hyperbole to talk about him as a leader, being one of the great leaders in sport, because they persist because of him and what he does on Sunday afternoons.
Okay, I think it's a little bit of a strange question to ask, but there were some vulnerabilities last night, primarily in the health department for the 49ers. So when I ask you, the last remaining undefeated team before last night, do you view them as a viable Super Bowl contending Tier 1 team? That's the 49ers. I think it's a fair question. They don't have the recent history, so you can't really lean on that. They obviously, after the Harbaugh, they had a little bit of a swoon. They had to rebuild things. Do you believe this team can win a championship? And do you believe Seattle can, by extension? 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up this hour. Hour two, the great Tom Izzo will call in and check in on the Spartans. Two games, a win, a loss. They lost to Kentucky by 7. They beat, I think it was Albany, Binghamton. They beat somebody up by about 40 in game two. They get ready to play a pretty good Seton Hall team. About
I think it was
20,
like 60, by the way.
It may have been. You're right. I think it was like 100 to 40-something. Yeah. Pretty good Seton Hall team, about 20 miles from here on Thursday. Seton Hall is ranked inside the top 15, so we'll hit that. We'll get into the Memphis situation. What is Penny Hardaway? Is he setting a trend positively, or is this the most cavalier act we've seen from a program in a long time? And the Knicks, another chapter. Mm. Now they're targeting somebody. We'll tell you who it is and if it makes sense. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, radio.com, YouTube, Tiki and Tierney channel, on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. So we got a little inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment here. Let's see what Santer has put on the old menu today. A little something on Michael Thomas. Little something on the Rockets, and specifically the scoring binge that Mr. Harden's on to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
Little something on Mr. Ed Orgeron.
Eddie O.
Yeah. Bleep Tide. Bleep Tide.
I love that they already have T-shirts. It's awesome.
You know, by the way, well, I'm going to save it for inbounds, out of bounds. I've got a theory about that whole thing.
Go ahead.
I'm going to lay it on you. Inbounds, out of bounds. We have Tom Izzo in hour two, Michigan State head coach. Hour three, Tiki read an article, and he passed this along this morning, about this quietly shifting dynamic in the NBA, where it was always about organically, back in the day, build the team, draft, develop, maybe accentuate a position, maybe get a sniper in free agency, maybe get a defensive stopper in free agency, and then that kind of morphed into the construction of the mega power team, mm-hmm. three superstars. But now...
Yeah, but that was really LeBron.
For sure. LeBron, no doubt about
LeBron
it.
LeBron created the three-headed monster, lasted for a decade through the Warriors, and then it kind of fell away.
Now you think it's going backwards, closer to the old school model. So we'll have that conversation coming up in a little bit. All right, first up, Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to play two things for you here. Jimmy Garoppolo says, we have a lot of wins so far, but there's a lot of things we could tighten up.
Yeah, I think I could throw the ball better. We could catch it better. I think it's just a little bit of everything. There's not one specific thing that sticks out, but it's a bit of a reality check for us. Go back and respond this week.
That makes it a little hard to read here because we haven't seen them in divisional matchup. As a team jointly, how they respond to pressure, how the coaches respond. And that exterior shell that is required to win a lot of games in January.
Well, here's the question that you ask yourself, because coming into this game at 8-0, looking dominant on defense with a great running game, at least the first part of the season, and Jimmy G, this team's a Super Bowl team. It's easy. Now, after losing this game with a rookie kicker making a kick to get you into overtime, but missing one to win you the game, and a couple of injuries that is starting to trickle up, not pile up, but trickle up a little bit, are you more or less convinced that they can win a Super Bowl? My gut is no, but that might be immediacy. And the fact that they were playing Russell Wilson. So if they got to the Super Bowl, that means they would have to get through Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Although that game could be at home, although they just lost at home to Seattle.
Right.
So that might not matter.
That's right. So I think my gut says no.
Really?
Because with the run game shut down, Jimmy Garoppolo looked average.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think.
Also lost Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders they lost. And
Kittle didn't play snap.
Kittle didn't play. And so
that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
I mean,
so my gut is no, but I probably would ultimately come towards yes.
My gut is yes. Not really gonna put a lot of money on that here, but my instincts say that I still keep them in that top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this: who was in our top tier? I don't think you and I varied on this. It was in no particular order.
Yep.
We had the Pats, the Packers,
mm-hmm.
The Saints.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Niners. We had the. We didn't have the Vikings. We had the.
I'm trying to think of the
other
another
AFC. Was there another AFC? Oh, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
That's right. But now you got to pull the Chiefs off, right?
Well, because
they
what do you have
average.
To do with the Saints? They just lost to the Falcons.
True, but.
But true, but what? I'll tell you why. Because we have a belief because the Saints have won a lot of games before.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to swallow an ugly, perplexing
right.
loss as an anomaly. Whereas with the Niners, you're like, maybe this is the start of something that kind of derails things.
The other
bit,
AFC,
which I don't believe.
The other AFC team we're thinking about was the Ravens.
Ravens.
So,
but I didn't put them in there last week. After the Pats?
After the Pats, and then after
the Bengals does nothing.
It doesn't matter, but still, they were.
No, I'd say that they're a tier one team now.
Yeah, I would.
You know, I think you have to. If not, you're just sleeping on them.
Yeah.
You know. Now, listen. The other thing too about the Niners, McGlinchey just got back last
mm-hmm.
night. Joel Staley got back
mm-hmm.
on the other side, left tackle. So. You know, the running game, which had been great without both of them, it was snuffed a little bit. But there's also something to be said with familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while this version of the 49ers is by far the best version that Shanahan's had, Pete Carroll's coached against him a bunch.
Right.
You know, with inferior 49er teams. So at least conceptually, he's got a sense and a feel for what Shaddy's trying to run.
That's right.
And Pete Carroll's a great defensive mind.
Of course he is.
So let's give him a little props.
And he's a great motivator.
Yep.
Right? The combination of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson is one of the greats in football because one's an emotional leader, one's consistent as hell as a player. And that's all you can ask for. And so guys buy into it. They buy into the coach,
mm-hmm.
and then they buy into the quarterback.
And don't you think that it's even more ideal because one is outwardly,
yes.
verbally,
yes.
Passionate,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, and that's of course Carroll,
mm-hmm.
the other one is more inwardly, fiercely competitive and passionate, projects it differently.
I think you're right.
Like if you had two type A yellers, not that it can't work
no.
with the quarterback and the head coach, but it might not. They complement each other. Their styles complement each other well. Listen, a little motivation for Bobby Wagner. He says, I want to prove some doubters wrong. Let's go.
That was our mindset the whole game. We just wanted to prove, you know, we were the best defense on the field today. And it was really on our mindset because we understood, you know, what everybody was thinking because of the last 2 weeks. So, you know, we felt like we played really well.
I mean, this guy's such a pro. I mean, he's such a pro.
Yeah. I mean, is he? How many 99s are in Madden? He's like one. I think he's one of like.
One of three-ish?
Three or four.
What is Lamar Jackson going to be next year?
Dude,
I mean, seriously.
Could he be the first 100?
I mean, what is he going to be?
Dude, he's had two perfect games.
I know,
and
he is.
He's a freak. He's a video game.
Who's
the
other,
like,
only other one with two? Big Ben back in 2011 or something?
2007, I believe it was.
Oh, that early in his
yeah,
career?
I think it was.
Right away?
Maybe,
no.
It must have been 11.
Yeah,
it must have been 11.
Well, it didn't have to be.
I can't
it
remember.
It could
now.
Have been 07 because he was obviously a couple of years in. That was the 04 draft class.
Yeah.
But I thought you said
Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, and DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the perfect Madden ratings right now.
And that's it.
That's it.
Wow.
Or
wow.
perfect meeting.
Coming into the seat. 99. Yeah, I got you.
About as perfect as you can get.
That's pretty damn good.
But I tell you what, if Lamar Jackson has another perfect game,
yeah,
because he's had two, that was what BT was talking about. There's only been one other quarterback that's had two perfect games in a season. The other was Ben Roethlisberger. We can't remember what year it was, but mm-hmm. if he has another one, he's still got seven games left.
I mean,
It's not
out of the realm here.
They got to play the Bengals again.
They got to play some bad teams. They got to play my team, too.
That's true.
That could be a perfect setup waiting for them. Here's the poll question. Santer, just put it up. All right. Are you more or less convinced the 49ers can win the Super Bowl? Little bit of a flawed question here, Mike, because we're asking it after a loss. So don't you think most people would now say today...
Well, listen, if people can use perspective, they don't need to look at last night's game as the end-all, be-all.
Yeah, but you're giving people too much credit because that's exactly what they're going to do.
Well, then we ask the question now, and then we ask the question in 5 weeks or 6 weeks and see what changes. But at the end of the day, they took a really tough Seattle team with probably the MVP into overtime. Could have won it if Robbie Gould is playing, like he probably will be for the rest of the year once he's healthy. They win that game. They did enough to beat one of the top two or three teams in the NFC. So, in my eyes, they at least prove that they can contend. I mean, I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo can carry a team if they're behind, but at the end of the day, they did enough to at least prove that they can contend with the top teams.
All right, how about that stuff with Gino with the coin toss, too? He swears that he said heads. Because there
will be audio of it.
There is. It's just what you decipher, because it sounds like tails and heads. It's one of those things like the blue dress or the Siri. There was a couple of things where
I remember that.
Was that like 2 years ago where you hear one thing and I hear something? And he said post game, he spoke to somebody, I think it was somebody from Yahoo. He said, I definitely said heads because Russell said tails to start the game. And this is Gino speaking, not me, because I think the math is a little flawed here. Mm-hmm. He said, based on the mathematical intel. I mean, I don't know what he was. I mean, Gino's got a lot of time on his hands these days, man. And Gino was out there because that's the way they do it with Seattle. The backup quarterbacks do it.
Yeah, the fact that no matter how many times you flip a coin, it's always going to be a 50-50 probability.
He was trying to say that that's not the case, though.
That is the case.
No, but that's what he was trying to say. So that's why I just cut that off. That's what he said.
Unless you're like you're adjusting for wind and the grass structure, it's 50-50.
Although,
it's never...
I understand, but if you
it's
take...
It's never not
50-50. Hold on, though. If you take a quarter...
It's binary. It's
50-50. I understand
50-50.
That. But if you take... But it's never going to go 5-5. Or it could go 5-5, but most times it doesn't go 5-5. Give me a coin.
Historically.
Give me a coin.
The history of coin tosses.
Give me a coin. Because it also depends...
Who the hell has coins anymore?
I don't have any.
I don't either. Nobody has a coin.
No coins, the vending machine.
Yeah, I know. God. But... If you have heads up and I start, there's ways to infiltrate the process of what I'm saying. If I start heads up 10 times versus just randomly not looking at it, and I start 10 inches from the table and I flip it the same exact way, the odds increase a certain way because I'm doing the same exact thing repetitively 10 times in a row.
But that's
impossible. That's all I'm saying.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But that's what I'm talking about.
We're talking about the flipping of a coin.
I understand that. Where the hell did that go? Ack, you got to do your update.
You left
to
go
room.
Get a quarter for him because you asked for a quarter.
I don't want it that badly. Ack, hurry up. Let's go. Come on, Ack. Look at this. Look at that empty chair. That's the best update he's done all year. The empty chair. You got one?
He does.
All right, flip it in the air. Heads or tails? Give me
heads.
Five. Heads or tails? What is
heads.
That? All right, keep going.
Heads.
Okay. This will be tails.
Heads.
Uh-oh. Heads.
Tails.
Oh. This is proving out.
Heads.
This is just this
four
is
out of five
stupidity
was
right
heads.
Now. Ack, thank you for that. We appreciate
it. Okay, it's my best contribution to the show.
80% heads.
I only need 40 more cents for a bag of chips now because we're keeping the quarter. Let's get the update from Ack coming up after that. Inbounds and out of bounds, and it's a good, good menu. Is Michael Thomas the best receiver in the NFL? That's on the list.
All righty, inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a sec here on
all-time scoring
prowess. First up, though, player of the week brought to you by Granger.
We'll
take a look at the one who got it done.
This week, it is Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz balling. They've won three straight. Their big man has been, as he often is, right in the middle of it all, as he's averaging 16 points and 16 rebounds in that span while shooting a robust 73% from the field. The reigning defensive player of the year is tied for fourth in the league in rebounds, a little bit over 13. So Utah's starting to find stride after a little bit of a sloppy start. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies to keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Go to Granger.com. You know, last night I found myself kind of in a rabbit hole of deep, a real deep dive into NBA stats.
Mm-hmm.
I've now officially come up with my favorite NBA stat.
Which is?
Screen assists.
Screen assists.
Screen assists. And I say that because Rudy Gobert leads the NBA in roughly 8.6 screen assists per game. Know what that is?
No.
I come and I set a screen for you. You make the shot. I get a screen assist.
Ah.
It's actually a really intelligent way of seeing who's setting effective screens. Clearly, it helps to play with good shooters as well.
True.
But the guys who hold the pick and sustain it and actually use that leverage and kind of get away with, like, yeah, kind of tilt the shoulders just a bit. I mean, the screen assist is an interesting one.
Which is a skill.
Which is an absolute skill. Rudy Gobert is number one. Sabonis is number two. Vucevic from the Magic is number three. Zach Collins, mostly big men. Willie Cauley-Stein, actually pretty good at that as well. Screen assists. How about that? All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get an assist from the college hoops department, hour two, Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I have a lot of serious things to talk about with Tom, you know, with Cassius Winston. It's unthinkable what that young man is going through. So we'll start with that. We'll find out how his senior guard is doing. As you know, his brother was killed, and we still don't know the exact details. We know it was a train, but there's the circumstance is a bit murky. And then once we move on from that, we'll obviously talk shop with one of my favorites, the great Tom Izzo. So that's coming up in hour number two. Teak, you ready for some inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right. The New Orleans Saints lost a shocker this weekend against the previously one-win Falcons. Now, despite the loss, Michael Thomas had another big game, monster game. 13 catches for a 152. Thomas now has 86 catches, well over 1,000 yards. So he's on pace for, you know, roughly 1,800 yards. And an NFL record, 153 catches. This is just stupid territory now. Come on. I mean, I know he's terrific. He might absolutely be the best, and that's the question. Is he the best receiver in the NFL, inbounds, out of bounds? But these numbers are getting a little stupid. So in or out, Thomas has become the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I think this is easily inbounds, BT. Look, this is flexible. It'll change next year as well. A couple years ago, it was Antonio Brown. You could put Odell Beckham Jr. in that conversation, DeAndre Hopkins. But right now, Michael Thomas has 18 more catches than the second place receiving leader in the NFL. That's DeAndre Hopkins. And 150 more yards than the second place receiving leader in the NFL. That'd be Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So right now, he absolutely is. And he's done it with two different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it's not like he, you know, was relying heavily on the Hall of Famer Drew Brees.
I know what
you're
saying.
Teddy Bridgewater as well. Inbounds.
Wouldn't mind a few more touchdowns for Mr. Thomas.
Wouldn't mind a little more
pay dirt.
Touchdowns aren't always his fault. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins only has, five touchdowns or four touchdowns.
I hear you. Mike Evans finds in the end zone. He's got one of the most erratic quarterbacks in the NFL, Jameis Winston. Fed. He hands the ball over three times every game.
He gets fed.
Yeah, he does. Well, wait. He's got more targets than Thomas. Has more targets than that.
In the red zone, though.
All right, but still, I mean,
the Saints run the ball in the red zone significantly more.
That's fair. He's got a lot of targets. Listen, Michael Thomas, if he's not one, he's 1A.
Yeah.
I still side with DeAndre Hopkins. I do. By a tick here. His yard per reception, a little more explosive, a little more big play oriented. Thomas he looks like a defensive end with those guns. I mean, he's physically put together. You can go right. Any answer is right here.
That's
if
right.
You say one of two or three answers.
Yep, Mike Evans.
Yeah. Well, no, I would actually put Evans. I would definitely
really?
Put Evans. Yeah, I would.
Because he's not
below.
A blazer?
I just think, I don't know. Well, first of all, his catch percentage is a little low each
it
year.
It is.
Oh, I love that catch radius.
It is. But some of that is Jameis, though.
Okay. All right. I understand that. And Deshaun Watson is obviously terrific, and obviously Drew Brees, and he did it with Teddy B as well. I hear you. I will still say Hopkins slightly. I'll say out of bounds, but no disrespect. He's one of the best in the game, no doubt.
Yes.
Are you in or are you out?
That's a non-winnable debate.
Yeah, it was a hard one. There's only a few answers,
right.
So there's really not too many ways to go here. The Rockets. Let's go to the Rockets. 7-3 as Westbrook and Harden learn to work together again. But Harden's scoring numbers haven't dipped, as some people thought they might here. Rather, Harden's averaging 37.3 points per game, the most in the first 10 games of an NBA season in 50 years. Last year, Harden put up 36.1 per game. And if he keeps up this pace this season, would have the highest average since Wilt dropped a redonkulous 50 a game back in 61 and 62, playing against 6'4" white centers. Even more than MJ's career high of 37.1 in 1987. So, in or out? James Harden will average over 37 a game this season.
I'm going to say inbounds, BT. Mm-hmm. And look, we're going to get into this deeper in our 5 o'clock hours Eastern, which is 2 p.m. Pacific. And you should listen because there's a different narrative taking over the NBA. It's, yes, it's two stars as opposed to three, but it's also how they're deploying minutes for their stars. They're not necessarily playing together as much as they used to. And so I'm going to say inbounds for this because I think a lot of the air that would have been sucked out of the ball, so to speak, from James Harden by Russell Westbrook isn't happening as frequently as a lot of people thought it was going to happen. So I'm going to say inbounds.
It's a good observation. I'm going to say inbounds as well. Think about this. Harden's on the court. Obviously, they do share court a significant court time together. But these teams are mindful. You know what, Harden? You get a blow. All right, Westbrook, you take over.
It's all you.
Westbrook, you get a blow. Harden, do your thing. Go 1-on-5 if you want, which he's got the latitude to do.
He does.
Which is part of the reason why I say inbounds. Number one, he's an incredibly gifted scorer. Mid-range, get to the – he's always at the free-throw line. He's got the green – he's got everything you want. A system that gives you flexibility to shoot whenever you want.
That's right.
The pace is up and down. He's obviously getting whistles from the ref. He's earned that. Inbounds, I agree. He will do it.
Are you in or are you out?
Plus, he overcame a pretty bad start the first couple of the games, and he's already on pace. He's going to heat up at some point, have a crazy month or two. It's going to happen. Yesterday, we discussed the locker room speech from LSU's Ed Orgeron. He gave this after the epic win over Alabama that was streamed live by one of his players.
Change the narrative.
You say that?
Yes, sir.
We're going to beat their ass in recruiting. We're going to beat their ass every time they see us.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Roll Tide, what? You.
Yeah!
Bleep you, pay me. All right, yesterday Orgeron addressed the issue with the media.
Yeah, I wish that wouldn't happen. Yeah, it shouldn't happen. And I addressed the player that did it. He felt bad about it. You know those they so used to having those phones on them all the time. We have pregame meal, and I said, okay, will you turn your phones off just a little bit so we can say the prayer? So we say the prayer, and boom, they're back on their phone. So, you know, I think that's just the product of today. Everybody carries their phone with them all the time. I don't think it was done with malintent or nothing like that. So I addressed it with the young man. I don't think it's happening again.
All right, there it is. Eddie O laying it down. So the player in question has not been named. He probably won't be. But will not be suspended for his actions. So, in or out, LSU should suspend the player responsible for streaming the video to send a message.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this one, BT, because he's a kid. He's not thinking about it. He just wanted to be caught up. How could you not be caught up in the emotion of this moment and, and trying to capture it? You go to Bryant-Denny Stadium in Alabama, and you beat the previously unbeatable, at least for LSU. They lost 8 in a row until this year's game down in Birmingham, or Tuscaloosa. He made a mistake. He'll learn from it. You shouldn't suspend him.
I say out of bounds as well, but I'm going to float a little something by you here. I believe this was planted. I believe this was done with a purpose. I believe that I can't prove this. And Eddie O, if you're watching us in your office out there in LSU, I'm sorry, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it came from Eddie O. Let me tell you why. You can always lean on the kid, you know, come on, he's not supposed to do this, but the message was sent.
That's a good point.
Anybody with a competitive spirit, nobody's going to get on Eddie Orgeron for doing that.
No.
We're all like, yeah, I'd want to play for that guy, and hell yeah, I'd be saying the same thing and probably saying it the same exact way. So he's absolved from any criticism, and the message gets out there, permeates the recruiting trail, win-win. No need to punish because it was a plant job. It was an inside Tigers job. That's my theory.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
It is amazing though, like even when you get in the elevator, you know, and I'm a social, personable person, as is Tiki.
Yep.
And you know, I'm always the last one to get out. I even let men out. That's just the way I was raised. Obviously, all the ladies, the elderly, but I'll even if there's men older, my age, younger. Go ahead, guys. I'll jump out after you. So I like to make eye contact in an elevator. You know, I do. But boy, as soon as you get in the elevator, boom! I mean, it's just immediate. People just can't lock eyes anymore.
That's right.
How you doing? What's up? Everything? Hey, how's your day? Everything good? Man, it's a weird society now.
Sam Thayer asked me like a question. Would I rather have my kid play for Eddie Orgeron or Nick Saban?
Oh, I'm going Eddie O.
This is a tough one. I think I might lean to Saban.
Okay. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to beat you. You're going to Saban. I'm going Eddie O. We're coming and we're going to truck you. Eddie Orgeron. My kind of guy.
Saban.
He's too stale. He's such a grump.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.